Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome, everybody, to Phase Zero, Episode 8, where we're talking about WandaVision, Episode 9.
Hell yeah!
Morning.
I am Brandon Davis. Welcome back to another episode of Phase Zero. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for watching live. Welcome back to the show. Joined again today by Jamie Jurak.
Hello.
And Mr. Jim Viscardi.
Yo.
Jim, black shirt today.
Yeah, but I'm wearing Moon Knight to hype up for the upcoming Disney Plus series Moon Knight. Man, you are not going to be able to handle me when Moon Knight shows up and we start
talking over here. How much is your Disney paycheck, Jim, getting paid to promote Moon Knight?
Speaking of literally, just dug this baby out, Moon Knight trading card. I'm all in on the Moon Knight.
Nerd alert. I respect. Look at that room. You have so much Moon Knight in the room. I respect it.
It's everywhere.
Kind of like I you actually have more Moon Knight than I have Thanos.
That's it.
Which is impressive.
Casually cosplaying black shirt in mourning of no James Spader. Yes.
Yes.
That is why I am in mourning.
when White Vision showed up, I was like, give me Ultron's voice. And then he spoke and I was just like, son of a anyway. All right, well listen. We gotta introduce the show. We gotta let everybody know what's going on today. We have a lot to talk about. Robert Downey Jr. is talking about an Iron Man comeback. What? Marvel reportedly has an X-Men movie on the way. What? Black Widow and Venom's release dates. They're a whole lot more interesting right now than they ever were. And of course, the WandaVision finale. But I would like to first start today's episode of Phase Zero with a very special, big, big announcement, okay, if I may. I made a promise in the very first episode of Phase Zero that I would do everything I can to get fans involved. I want to get you all connected with the Marvel family. And next week, we are going to do that right here on Phase Zero live. Not only do we have an amazing guest joining us live on the show, which you might be watching on Twitch right now, so you should subscribe if you are, so you don't miss this. WandaVision director Matt Shakman is joining us live. We're getting all the answers, all of them. I am on a mission. But I am going to have a few of you send in some videos that we're going to use to get your questions answered. We're going to play them right here on the show. We're going to play them for Matt Shakman. You're going to get your questions answered. So we'll figure that all out, how that's going to work on Twitter next week. I'll set up an email address. I'll figure out how we're going to get those videos submitted, how we're going to pick which questions get used. But Matt Shakman right here, Phase Zero, next week, March 12th. And then Boom. The next day I'm talking to the cast of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So it's a big, big, big few days here on the Phase Zero podcast and at comicbook.com. So today is about today, though. And we have something to focus on, all right? And it is the WandaVision finale. This means full spoilers ahead. We're not starting with Marvel news. We're starting with the WandaVision finale. We're jumping straight in. I know that's why you're here. So we're going to do that. WandaVision finale. We're talking spoilers for WandaVision as a whole. This is your spoiler warning. If you have, for some reason, not watched WandaVision yet, if you have not watched the WandaVision finale, listen, come back. Come back later. Yeah, Jim's pointing at the spoiler alert right now. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so let's just start right now. Reactions to episode 9. I've talked enough. I'm going to pass it off to Jamie. Jamie, reaction to the finale. Let's hear it.
Oh, goodness. I mean, I don't think you'll be surprised to learn that I loved it. what a joy. I mean, the whole series was just, I've said it a million times, but it was a show that was made for me. And I really thought they stuck the landing. And while there are a couple things I can nitpick, and I'm sure I will today. But I mean, in the end, those little things that I didn't like, Ralph Boner, will certainly not matter to me like in a couple weeks. Like, I'm going to rewatch it so many times and get, and that it's going to be my favorite thing Marvel ever did. So yes, I'm very happy and tired because I dreamt about it all night.
Jim, what did you think?
Look, there are definitely things I don't like about it, but overall, man, I thought this stuck the landing. And I get it. There are a ton of people who are crazy upset over all of the speculation and theory thing that we ourselves are guilty of having done over the last week, right? Like, there's so... That's one of the greatest things about the Marvel Universe and the fact that the MCU, when, you know, is at its best, when it does, you know, when it feels like, when it feels authentic to the history of everything that has come through it. And, you know, did we get everything that we wanted? Absolutely not. But does this set up a bunch more stuff to come? Yeah, absolutely. And that's the kind of stuff that we love. And so, you know, we'll continue to do it. And it's, and look, this story, this was at the very beginning, was supposed to be a story about Wanda. This was a story about Wanda, and we got all of that. Now, don't get me wrong, there are plenty of things I take issue with. But when you throw in those emotional gut punch moments that we got in this episode, whew, man, I felt it. I felt it here. I felt it here. I felt it here. Just everywhere.
For everybody who's listening in podcast form, he pointed to his chest, his eyes, and his armpits.
No, my heart. My heart. It was my gut. I felt it in my tummy. I felt it in my eyes. And then I felt it in my heart.
Oh, I'm just messing with you, Jim. I am not as high on this finale as you are. I thought it was good, but this is another instance where I'm going to have to say, this doesn't mean I didn't like it. This doesn't mean I hated it. I just thought it was good. I thought the show as a whole was better than this finale. I thought the finale just felt kind of safe in a like things aren't too different from what they were before. We just understand Wanda more. Like I feel like we could have gone into Doctor Strange with a post Endgame Wanda without WandaVision and
absolutely not.
I love the development of Wanda throughout this series, which is why I think the series is fantastic as a whole. But I don't know about, I think that the finale was, it felt kind of safe. And maybe I'm just so salty about just the multiverse baiting again. Like, again, you hit us with this fake multiverse crap. I'm tired of that. You did it in Spider-Man Far From Home, and you did it with Evan Peters. So, but that's not enough for me to not like this episode or this show. I thought the show was really awesome. And what they did with Wanda and Vision, they developed these characters in a way that I don't know any other MCU character has been developed so far. I mean, this is 100%. This relationship feels more.
And that's
more...
the beauty of these Disney Plus shows, though, right? Like, it gives us those opportunities to do that. Because, like you said, I don't think that if Doctor Strange 2 even opened with even just like it could, like, it would, the 5 minutes of potential on screen backstory of why WandaVision is mad or whatever that we probably would have gotten in that movie is nowhere near enough, knowing how far, you know, Wanda has had to go. And where she's at right now than without this. And so that's what I love about it.
Yeah.
But you're right. But the multiverse stuff with Evan Peters is.
We're going to get into that.
We're going to go through.
It's a huge disappointment. I'm not going to lie. That pisses me off. I mean, I'm glad they at least said something. Jamie, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, are we diving into that?
Let's do it. Let's do it right now.
I want to say that because I do want to. I have a pretty thorough rundown here, and we're going to get into that because that leads into more. So I want to. I want to start. First of all, this episode is in the top half of the show for me. It's in the, I would say, maybe top four out of the nine. It's number four. I think five or eight are my favorite. I think it's maybe number three for me overall. It's not my favorite episode of the show. I liked it a lot, but five and eight. I think eight might be my favorite of the entire series.
That's a fair ranking. Yeah, I think I definitely like the last two are probably in my top three. I think five is probably still probably my favorite, but these last two as a package just I think work so well for me that they're up there for me. So much so that like a lot of the earlier episodes, while I understand, like have definitely fallen down in my ranking, but that's fair.
Yeah. So we're going to start the conversation by talking about Wanda and Agatha and their fight. First of all, Agatha was really the only villain. Like there was nobody else pulling the strings. Agatha was kind of, her motivations are unclear if you, in my opinion, I don't
really
I didn't get.
She wanted that power. She like tried the whole episode.
Well,
she was kind of
like
the power out of her.
I don't know. It felt like she wanted to rule the world, and then she wanted the power, and she wanted to coach her, and it was like, which one is it?
Well, I think she just wanted the power. I think by the end, she realized that she's not getting that power, and the only way she's gonna is if she tries to help her. And I think that, I mean, my favorite part of the episode was when she's like, "You're gonna need me," and Wanda goes, "Well, I know where you are," and I'm like, "Yeah, that means we're getting more Agatha." that's all I want was just a little hint, a tease that we might get more Agatha. But I think that, yeah, she wanted that power, but she didn't get it, and now I think that, you know, she's all about herself. So I do think if we do get more Agatha, yeah, she's going to help Wanda. I think she's kind of, she's like similar to Loki, where she's like selfish and she's in her spot. But I think, you know, in the end, she's not an evil person.
So let me ask you this then. What was her end goal? Why did she want the power?
To be more
just
powerful.
To have
like
more
that's,
power. Just to have I more
mean,
power.
She,
to do what
I think
it?
From her flashback, I mean, I think she's like addicted to the magic. I mean, that she killed her mom for it because I think when it comes down to it, some people, they just want power. It's not about using that power to take over the world. It's just, they want the power.
I feel like, no Mephisto pun intended, just for the sake of our conversation, I am going to play devil's advocate because I feel like I'm going to give an impression that I don't love this show start to finish, because I really like, I can't praise the show enough to accurately convey how I feel about it as a whole. But I think some of the stuff maybe I'm more frustrated in, or I don't want to say disappointed in, than you guys are, but I think I'm going to take that stance for a lot of this show just for the sake of conversation.
Well, no, though- I mean, I think also too, look, I was talking to Kofi Outlaw, co-host of the Comic Book Nation, about, look, this is another instance where we got a copycat villain, right? Like, this is another Marvel villain who has basically the same powers as the hero. And that's the kind of fight that we got at the end. But I think, you know, the parts that make,
what other copycat villains are you referencing?
I mean,
besides Whiplash.
Iron Man and Iron Monger. Ant-Man and Yellow Jacket. I mean, like, it's the list goes on and on.
Even so. Black Panther, I mean.
Yeah, right.
Listen, I just got to make sure you got a thorough argument here, Jim.
Exactly.
That doesn't bother me, for the record, though.
No,
it's a thing that they do.
It's a thing that they do, and I believe that they have handled it a little bit better with Agatha, because Agatha will still be around, and we know she's still going to be around, and I believe that there's going to be more for her, and look, we are just beginning to peel back what the magic side of the Marvel Universe kind of looks like, and so. For Agatha to still kind of be around for all of that has me excited for it.
So, I mean, Catherine Hahn has to be in Strange too, right? Or somewhere down the line, right?
Yeah, definitely somewhere down the line. I don't know. Like, Strange 2 feels like a proper place. She may get referenced, and maybe she's, you know, there's a moment there.
Could she absorb the magic of Strange? Could she absorb his powers if she is like,
I mean, theoretically, right?
I don't know. We'll ask Matt Shackman next week.
Yes. I think that even if they didn't plan to bring Agatha back, they will now because of how much people are obsessed with her. So I'm very confident.
She's the biggest artist on iTunes. Thick as a bop. I liked the Tony Stark Ultron treatment that Agatha got when Wanda snuck up behind her and did the old little trick to her and sent her back. That ended up backfiring on Wanda in this case, but it was cool. I was like, oh, she did the Tony Stark thing that she did in Ultron. Then they fought. The fight in the sky made me realize that what I liked about this show the most was the intimate character moments. Because the fight in the sky was dope, and like, especially Vision versus Vision, but I would rather watch Vision and Vision talk to each other. And I'd rather watch Wanda and Vision be together and deal with these things together than watch this huge flying blow out in the sky. Of course, you're going to get that, and it's cool. You have to get that. It's Marvel. It's a superhero flick. You need to have that to kind of complete the story, I think. But it really made me realize I love the character moments. My favorite fight in the show was the argument between Wanda and Vision when Vision realized what was going on. That was my favorite action moment of the whole series.
Yes. I agree with you 100%. And I think that's amazing that we have a Marvel project that the most powerful moments are the emotional moments. I think that's great. I think that, I mean, we don't need everything. I mean, I love action, don't get me wrong. But it does. They don't all need to be the same. We can have something that makes grown man Jim cry at the end.
I think for me, though, like some of these battle scenes, though, and this is, you know, a bit of a nitpick, felt a little... I don't feel that that's the CGI was a bit up to snuff. There were definitely certain moments where you can tell that it was either, you know, blue or green screened or whatever. And it, like, there were a lot of great parts and there was a lot going on. But it, you know, just watching it, I think, just on, you know, my big TV, that you can see the seams a little bit. And so I don't know if that was intentional or not, but I don't know, that's right. Really, it's, like I said, it's a nitpick and it looked a little
I do want to give a big shout out to Buick. I'm sure that Audi and all the other car sponsors said, no, you can't throw our car through a house. So, but Buick was just like, well, all right. I was wondering why Wanda doesn't get to drive a Corvette or an Audi R8 or like a futuristic e-tron, like every other Avenger does.
Cause why cool. would she, that's not her style anyway.
She got like a 2002 Buick, like Tony Stark financing her. She's on the Avengers payroll. Get this girl an electric car.
Did you not watch this show? That is 1000% not Wanda style.
They literally downgraded her TV stand. Okay. This show said, Wanda, we are hurting you. In Civil War, her TV was mounted. In this, she had that rollaway cart, and I'm still not over it. If Natasha gets the Corvette, why, you know, and Tony has all these cars. Tony probably has 100 cars in the garage at Avengers HQ. He makes her drive a Buick with 100,000 miles on it. Just so she could, but shout out to Buick for letting them throw it through the house.
Also, I did love the Wizard of Oz shot.
Wizard of Oz, the boots.
Oh, yeah. Really good. Such a great shot.
Yeah, if anybody didn't notice, there was the Agatha's boots were under the car, under the rubble in the house, which was totally a Wizard of Oz, you know, and the man behind the curtain reference of the Wizard of Oz. So that was cool. The Wicked Witch. And then the Darkhold. We learned that the Darkhold is in play, which listen, S.H.I.E.L.D. season 4, I know everybody's like, oh, we're tied together. Are we? I don't know. Kevin Feige says maybe. He'll never say one thing or the other. Listen, after this Evan Peters, I just won't get my hopes up for S.H.I.E.L.D. to be brought in. But anyway, Jamie, go ahead. Jamie, this is your thing.
I will say of the whole episode, the one moment where I leapt out of my chair and yelped was when Agatha said the word Darkhold. Because they didn't have to be the Darkhold. It could have been the other book that starts with an N that I can't think of. The neck.
Necronomicon.
I'm not saying that word. Necronomicon.
The Necronomicon Ex Mortis or whatever. The Necrocomicon. I said Necrocomicon. That's how much I miss Comic-Con.
Oh, even if it's not the same book. And I think it was also, I want to say they also use it in The Runaways, but I could be wrong there.
They do use it in Runaways.
Yeah. You know, that is enough of a sliver of a connection for me to be like, yep. I'm satisfied. And I still, I think that the Hydra Soak was a direct reference? No. But I mean, maybe it was. I'm just holding, it's just the mention of it is enough for me. And that makes me happy because it's my favorite arc of S.H.I.E.L.D. And to hear the words were very satisfying.
So just for everybody who might not know what the Darkhold is, and might not have realized that is probably the missing book from the bookcase in Doctor Strange, the first Doctor Strange movie. I'm going to read the words of comicbook.com's Evan Valentine from an article on the site, which explains it very easily. The Darkhold itself first appeared in Marvel Spotlight number 4 in 1972, introducing the cursed time as one of the most powerful tools in the supernatural world, for which Stephen Strange keeps under lock and key for some time. Originally created by the Dark Lord C'thon billions of years in the past, the book has insane abilities, but is akin to the Evil Dead's franchises, Necronomicon Ex Mortis, and will normally have insanely adverse effects on its user. During one instance, Doctor Strange was forced to rely on the book while battling the legendary vampire king Dracula, going so far to completely eliminate vampires from the Marvel Universe for quite some time. Of course, as you know, vampires would eventually return, giving Blade the Vampire Hunter plenty to do. Thank you for the words, Evan Valentine. Cool name, by the way.
Big connection. We can talk about it a little bit more.
Wait, are you getting into Blade stuff? Are we hyping?
No, I'm not getting into. I'm not getting
no
into
more
Blade
theories.
Stuff.
No more theories. It's not.
I'm getting
theories.
Into.
I'm done with
a
theories.
Small theory for theories. The second. It's a small theory for the second post-credit scene, which is in a mountain range where she is reading the Darkhold, which probably could be Wundagore Mountain.
It's the garden where Thanos was, because theories.
Look, this is one of those things where, like, that's got to be Wundagore Mountain, right? Because, one, that's where the Darkhold was created. That's where she's reading the Darkhold, and there's a lot of Wanda history at Wundagore Mountain.
Look at me. Look at me. All right, Jim?
It's,
look at me real
it's
close.
It's going to be Wundagore Mountain.
Jim, I want you to look at me real close when I say this. I want you to look right in the face. We don't care.
Wundagore Mountain. It's a huge thing.
I do
thing.
Care. Here's the thing. I want to care so much, but I don't trust anything anymore. Every theory is wrong. They don't care about our feelings. All right. Is the Vision back in the MCU?
Yes.
Because listen, so I when I first saw the conversation between created Vision and resurrected White Vision, I thought after that conversation, resurrected Vision was the one who flew out. I was wrong. It was the Wanda created Vision who ultimately disappeared by the end of the episode. But White Vision, who seemingly has all of the memories back and all of the information of the internet and the world back, is online and did not show himself. So first of all, we could have just brought Vision back because Hayward was able to just put him back together.
Well, no, Hayward needed Wanda's magic.
When she went there and the Vision Quest moment happened and she said, I can't feel you, why didn't he come back?
Well, I mean, I think Wanda doesn't know what she's capable of. I mean, I think that was a big part of this.
I know.
I mean,
but
she literally
theory,
says to him, I can't do that.
But in theory, if they just gave her the body and she had time to mess with it, she could have resurrected him.
Well, no, because I mean, she's not a robot.
She's a witch.
She's not a robot scientist. So, you know, Sword had to put him back together.
So you're telling Jim, are you pro Hayward right now? Are you giving Hayward more credit than Wanda? What's going on?
I mean,
no,
look,
I think
Hayward Hayward led the operation to put Vision back together. Were his intentions right? No. But, and you get that in that moment where Vision has that moment. He's like, you know, he was rebuilt to be controlled kind of thing. But look, you got, you know, the Sword resources to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And then you needed the, you know, there was no power that they could find enough to bring Vision back online until they realized, you know, they tried Wanda's magic, and until they can get it right. That's the whole point of sending that drone in, was just so they can get basically a battery to jumpstart the, you know, the
a
new
battery
Vision.
for the USB drive, a computer to plug
basically.
It in. Everybody, listen, Hayward, last week's show, I think 2 weeks ago, was when they kind of explained why Hayward was acting out, like being so mean to people, and that he justified his behavior by the blip. And I was like, well, I think it's cool that they tried to like explain why he acts this way. And I was like, coming off like, all right, maybe Hayward like could be like a Nick Fury type guy, and just he's acting shady because that's what these Sword/Shield guys do. And then he tried to shoot the kids.
Yeah.
Hey, you ain't coming back from that.
That was too far
from that, Hayward. So Hayward is out. Hayward, you're done. But anyway, back to Vision. The Vision versus Vision fight, I gotta say, it made me want a Superman movie so bad. I'm not gonna lie. Because that scene was cool. It was cool to see the superpowered OP characters going at it in the sky, and I would like to see Superman do that again. Yeah, but Vision is out there somewhere. Jimmy Woo called a buddy named Cliff in the FBI. Not that I want to look into anything after everything that I've looked into that meant nothing, but Cliff Randall in the Marvel Comics world is part of the collective intelligence, an alien race, hive mind, joins S.H.I.E.L.D., gets caught being an alien. I don't know, Secret Invasion is coming. Aliens are a factor. Maybe, probably not. Who knows? Like, I just think they just throw names in there. But maybe it was.
Brandon's so deflated.
I'm gonna find a Cliff soon because oh my god, that was a tough scene. all these meaningless nods. Speaking of meaningless nods, let's talk about the most. Actually, we have to take one quick break for the podcast purposes. We've been rambling on. We got to take a quick break. Ads, do your thing. Welcome back to a heated episode of Phase Zero. We are debating WandaVision's finale. It's more of a debate. It was supposed to be a recap and a breakdown, but apparently I hated it. I did not hate it. I love this show. It is the best Marvel show from Marvel Studios ever. But no, I thought the finale was excellent. It was not my best episode ever, and I think the show as a whole was better than the finale. I'm Brandon Davis, joined by Jamie Jurak and Jim Viscardi. We are about to talk about the most disappointing part of WandaVision, and I think we're all going to agree on this, and if we don't, you're wrong. Evan Peters being in the show was stupid. I think Evan Peters is great. I think he did a great job in the show. He was very entertaining. This was multiverse bait. This was crap. I didn't like it, and I will not ever change my mind on this unless they change something about this in the future. I said previously they have to at least acknowledge the fact or at least rule something on the fact. Why is he Quicksilver? Who is this guy? Is he from the multiverse? Say something one way or the other. And if they say something, I won't be as mad. I lied. I'm more mad. They said his name. This was multiverse bait on the heels of Spider-Man Far From Home, advertising itself as a multiverse movie, having a story about being a multiverse movie, not being a multiverse movie. This show leads into Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. And they brought in a character, an actor, who played a character in a different cinematic universe. And the entire purpose of that was to make a boner joke. God. Bro, what?
Oh, what? In that moment, when he laughed at his own name, I really thought that the end credits were going to be he's the Jimmy Woo witness. And Ralph Boner is like a funny name he picked. But then they didn't get there. And I'm not going to hold out hope that that's still going to be the case. Although in my heart, I want that to be the case because it is so disappointing. I'll be happy that Evan Peters is on the show because I love him and I never thought we'd get to see him as Quicksilver again. And that's a nice little treat. But it did feel like a weird thing to bait us with.
It was, yeah. I mean, they knew.
That's the thing. And look, I think also, you know, talking to Charlie Ridgely kind of in the morning where, you know, he made a good point in that Marvel needed us to believe that that was Quicksilver. Otherwise, we could not buy Wanda believing it was Quicksilver. But I think it is potentially too. Because look, if they cast anyone else in that role, and they could have, it could have been an instance where Aaron Taylor Johnson didn't want to come back, and so
I think that is the case,
right?
No, and so, they called Aaron, they called Taylor, and they called Johnson, and all three of them said we don't want to come back. So they said,
but the only way that they could play that moment with a Quicksilver is by bringing in Peter. Now, I think this is a dangerous slope for Marvel because Marvel has made us has always paid off when they introduce new characters or they're introducing like just characters in general. And so now it's one of those things where, I mean, it's good, right? In the sense that maybe it gets us off Marvel's scent for a bit when they just try to introduce new things or maybe introduce new things. But there's just this history of them doing it that
the Mandarin that I think to talk to you.
That just feels like now if we ever see something like that, you know, is I think we're more likely now to be like, oh, it's just BS. And even if it and when we think that and even if it becomes real, I don't think that payoff is going to matter as much as it could, right? Because now I don't think they can bring anyone over outside of Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool and maybe, you know, Zazie Beetz and Brolin as Cable and Domino, right? Like that corner of the X universe. But like anywhere and then Hugh Jackman, I guess, right? If anyone else were to show up, any of those actors were to show up, I don't like we have now been like, well, it's probably BS. And if it's not, it's like, okay.
And it's a plot hole if it's not, unless they're just like, oh, well, yeah, there are people on this universe who have the same face but look different that aren't you. Ralph Boner is not you can't even say that name, is not Pietro. Like, and also, like, I also, on the Quicksilver front, there was a thing, if this was a movie, I think, if this was a thing where they had more time and money to shoot, like, when the kids were disarming the military, I think we would have had, like, a sweet dream scene there. We would have seen the kids in slow motion while the world is in slow motion, disarming the military and being kids about it. And that could have been a really nice moment of levity and humor.
But there was even the double. But there was the double dip, though, right? Where Tommy is wearing sunglasses and a shield hat. Where, you know, is the callback to Evan Peters' scene where he's wearing the security guard cap with his goggles?
Yeah, because they just wanted to slap me across the face for thinking everything like, was going
to
pay off.
To me, like that was just the, like the extra like just twist of the knife where it's just like, oh my god, come on.
That's why I really thought they were bringing it back. I really thought that that one of those credit scenes was going to be like, don't worry, we're not really going to leave you on boner.
I got to say, I genuinely think like it doesn't detract from my love for the show overall. Yeah. This is like the legacy of WandaVision won't be that Quicksilver wasn't Quicksilver or that some questions weren't answered, but it is something that until the Falcon and the Winter Soldier gets me thinking about something else, I'm going to be like bitter about it. So
can we just talk for a second about how freaking awesome that Scarlet Witch costume is? Because man, I thought they nailed that one. No, Brandon, rolling your eyes. Is that what's going on here?
No. I thought it was great. I thought the costume was incredible. Yeah, I thought sorry, go ahead.
That is just the thing where it is like, it's those like little moments and those like nods back to, you know, just like the comic stuff. It's a
so
great modern version of this costume.
It's what Elizabeth Olsen has deserved all along. Something like that. Cool. And I love that they made her hair curly because in the comics, Vision calls her Curly Top. And I love that she got even the hair was right. It was so cool.
Yeah, she it was interesting that she had the vision of, no pun intended, of the Scarlet Witch when she interacted with the Mind Stone. Yeah. Imagine if that happened back in the Winter Soldier post-credit scene or in Age of Ultron, and we have been waiting for that costume for this long. It would have been wild.
That would have been
wild.
Very cool.
But I want to go back to Quicksilver real quick because going back to that, this is not a multiverse thing. We all thought when we saw Evan Peters that for sure the Tobey Maguire and the Andrew Garfield rumors and the fact that Kevin Feige said this leads into Spider-Man 3, which I still call Spider-Man 3, even though it's got a title now.
It's a very long title. So
we just said that we just all kind of said those rumors are true. Tom, you say they're not in it? Well, yeah, good one, bro. For the first time, it seems like maybe Toby and Andrew are actually not in Spider-Man 3. And if they are, why are they?
That's what they want you to think.
Yeah, I don't know, because I keep going back to the fact that the word multiverse is literally in the Doctor Strange title. They can't mess with us again multiverse wise if they're going to put it in the title of the movie. So I have hope that they're still going to reward us with some
well
cool
but I think stuff. But I think it also has to, I think the part that you have to also play with is you know, I think it's a very intentional line that where you know Vision asks Wanda what am I, and she says you're you know, you are part of the Mind Stone that lives inside of me. And I think again that also plays with that will play into Doctor Strange's whole, you know, these Infinity Stones are not where they're supposed to be, yada yada yada, and you know all that stuff. And so the door is still very much open for that. And like Jamie said, multiverse is in Doctor Strange's title. Now, I think if anything, it should temper all of our expectations on if Toby and Andrew are in Spider-Man 3, how much they are in Spider-Man 3.
Because I thought they have a big role.
Yeah, I think they are going to be more fleeting moments than anything else. Like we are going to see them in a montage or something that is somehow, that's how, you know, the various villains, you know, either get to our universe or however they're involved. Like I think you see it that way in more like a scan of the multiverse than them actually having big roles in Spider-Man 3.
From the beginning, like it's interesting because you and I have like from the beginning only heard that Toby was in Doctor Strange. Like before the Phantom Wire came out, the Phantom Wire report came out that they were in Spider-Man 3. And I just think it makes more sense that they would be in Doctor Strange than they would be in Spider-Man No Way Home, but who knows? I mean, maybe they're in a post-credit scene. Maybe they have a brief role. Maybe they're not coming back at all. I find it hard to believe that they wouldn't be coming back at all. Like, I feel like if it wasn't true, somebody would have said, like Toby's reps or somebody would have said, like, it's not true. But then again, John Krasinski saw himself trending on Twitter like week after week and said nothing. And, like, full well, the aerospace engineer was another thing that didn't matter. Anyway. I'm salty about the aerospace engineer. Like, Marvel pays that stuff off, like you were saying. Like, the anytime they've referenced stuff like that, they know that it has a payoff, and that has happened in previous films.
Matt Shackman has apologized.
No, he I'm not blaming Matt Shackman. I think Matt Shackman has done a great job, and I just find it so weird that they didn't anticipate that. That they didn't anticipate this line where the camera goes straight into Monica saying, I know an aerospace engineer who'd be up for the challenge, especially for something so meaningless to the show. Like, she didn't need the rover. The rover was in the scene for like a minute, and then it didn't work. Like, I don't know. I felt like it's such a weird thing, and maybe I'm just pissed because I got so caught up in it, and I was so loud about it on social media and stuff. And it just made sense. And I really love the idea of spending time with Reed Richards and other Fantastic Four members before they are the Fantastic Four. I think that'd be a really clever way to introduce them.
There's still plenty of time.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But I just that just seems so weird. I felt like that was going to be something, but it wasn't, and whatever. Anyway, now I want to talk about Scarlet Witch, and her costume was awesome. But also, Wanda took Billy and Tommy's disappearance really, really well. I mean, she was all... I expected her to... Not, I don't mean she took it well, like she was happy about it, but she accepted that a lot faster and more easily than I thought. And I think that's because she sees the opportunity in the Darkhold to give it a shot at getting them back. I don't think she looked at that goodbye to Vision and that goodbye to the kids as a permanent goodbye. And, you know, Marvel Comics fans know they're probably coming back. But I want you, Jamie, Jamie, what do you think?
I think we've talked about it before, but I think Young Avengers is going to happen and they're going to come back. But I do agree. I mean, that was what the post-credit scene was. Like, the last thing you hear is Billy's voice calling out to her. So I think that's absolutely happening. But I do think also a part of that is it could have completely broken her, which is kind of what happens in the comics. But I think the reason it didn't is because ultimately Wanda's a hero and she's a good person. And I think that she knew it was the right thing to do to save all those people in Westview. And even though, you know, it's a rough, sad time, I think that it shows, I mean, she had that moment with Vision and I think it was emotional growth. I mean, she's only experienced grief and it keeps happening. And it's not getting easier, but I think she has the tools now to understand how to deal with it emotionally and literally. She's got a book that maybe she can bring back. So.
I think somebody's going to be looking for that book though. We'll see.
Well, yeah, Doctor Strange.
It was so devastating when she drops the whole illusion and not only did all the kids go away, everything went away and she was in the unbuilt house. She was in the plot of lands that was going to be their house. It was just such literally a reality check. Whew, that was tough.
It was heavy. I didn't say it. Like, I am a sucker for, you know, those kinds of emotional moments. And God, did it get me. Like, holy crap.
Gosh.
And so it's just, you know, and like, is it like, you know, the saying goodbye to the kids thing, right? Like, as someone who's got kids, like, that's a real thing. And that is tough.
They're building a house right across the street from me. And just last week, it was only those bricks. And every time I drive by, I was just like, nobody's going to grow old in Wanda's house.
Yeah.
Vision cried.
That's it. You'll believe an android can cry. That's it.
You got to put him in a bowl of rice now.
Oh, jeez.
Listen. So, the post-credit scene was the one moment that really made me jump out of my bed that I was watching it at 7 in the morning in excitement. When there was a scroll.
Yeah.
That was
cool.
The first thing, my girlfriend rolled over and said, who's she talking about? And my first reaction was like, oh, Talos. But no, she's talking about Nick Fury.
Yeah, absolutely.
She said up there, she's talking about Fury. And 7 months from now, Fury is in space with this after Far From Home. So she's got some missions in space with Fury and Sword.
I'm gonna go down a rabbit hole right here, but this is what I want.
Listen, let's go back. Honestly,
best stories around Monica Rambeau is a book called The Ultimates, written by Al Ewing. Where
we're getting Blue Marvel and Captain Marvel 2 is what you're saying.
Blue Marvel and Captain Marvel 2, and he is a member of the Ultimates. And so, like, I am ready for basically a photon-led Space Force kind of thing. Call them the Ultimates, call them whatever, but they, you know, those are the stories I'm excited for. And look, I will be patient. I will probably be 50 by the time we roll around to that, but that is fine. Give it to me. Because that is some legit stuff.
Oh, don't talk about
Give me anything. The Ultimates.
After we lost a year without content and we all got a year older and the content didn't come, we're getting scarily old over here. All right. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. Okay. So listen, that's all I've got for the show. So I want to look at some reactions really quickly. We've talked about the story of the show. If anybody has questions, drop them in the Twitch comment section. We will answer them and make sure you're following on Twitch. But I do want to say, for me, I think the answer to this question is yes. And I love the show. I have to say that. I adore this show.
This is like you and me and Sharon Carter. This is what happens. Like, you tell everyone, I don't like Sharon, but I just have some problems.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing on social media. That's the thing with any sort of reviews or criticism or anything. You say one thing and they're like, I hate you. You hated it. Die. And it's like, no, why should I die for just having one?
This is why we have a show. We're able to express how and why we feel with plenty of room and space to do it. So that's why we're
seeing the reactions I'm getting. I tweeted before this show, maybe Toby and Andrew aren't in Spider-Man 3 after all, LOL. And people are coming at me like I started the rumor. Yo, I didn't write in Spider-Man No Way Home. Chill. I want a Tom Holland Spider-Man movie that focuses on Tom Holland's Peter Parker too. Chill. Anyway. Yeah, I think the answer to the question I'm about to ask for me is yes. Even though I still love the show, I think right now digesting it is my perspective is skewed. Did the interviews and the hype from like Lizzie saying Luke Skywalker level cameo, which I think was about Evan Peters?
Is that what Lizzie? Is that what Lizzie said?
She did not say that.
Who said it? Who said? Paul said it. Whoever said it.
She was like kind of coerced into being like, is there a Luke Skywalker level cameo? And and so she said yes, and I think she was referring to Evan Peters. But I think it's hilarious that Paul Bettany was like, I'm excited to work with myself. I think it's adorable. And I wasn't disappointed that there wasn't some huge cameo. I did expect Doctor Strange, but I wasn't mad that he wasn't in it. We're going to see him eventually.
I think that my perspective has fallen victim to all of the conversation. And I think all of the conversation was fueled by those two quotes specifically. Was the one about, yeah, there's a Luke Skywalker cameo, which I think was more of an innocent thing than was intended to be. Like it was, I know how that gets when an actor is put into a corner where they're like, what is she supposed to say? No, there's really nothing exciting coming. Like you can't really say that, but they kept, you know, every time someone asked about the aerospace engineer, somebody could have just been like, you met them. I promise. Like it's over with. Or, you know, cause Paul, the combination of the theories and the outside of the canon hype from the cast and crew certainly set an expectation, which wasn't met, not because it was a bar that was too high in quality, but it was just a bar at a different place. Whereas the bar that it met was super high. The quality of this show was fantastic. The character work on the show was literally better than I think anything we've ever seen in the MCU. But I think the expectation became one thing and then it just went another way, which worked brilliantly. But I think I am one of the people who fell victim to the excitement and the hype of it all and the conversation. And I think in the long term, I'll like the show even more than I do right now, which is a lot. I don't know. I do think Kevin Feige called Sebastian Stan and Anthony Mackie and was like, yo, see this? Don't do that.
I feel like that's kind of the curse of a show like this. And I try really hard not to get sucked into the fan theories and stuff because you're only setting yourself up for disappointment. Like you said, I think that eventually, Brandon, you're going to love this show, but right now you're just raw from the things you didn't get. And like, I'm a little upset that I never got to see Darcy and Wanda in a scene together because that personally would have been my dream. to see them interact. But also I'm like, that's just something that I wanted. It would not have moved the plot along. It would not have done anything for the MCU, but please me. And I think that it's hard to separate that stuff, and we all do it. We're all guilty of it. Yeah. But I think that the more time moves on, the more everyone I think will appreciate the amazing 9 episodes that we got and what it, just the homage to television in itself. Take away the Marvel aspect. Just the television part was so meaningful to me.
Yeah. I mean, look, there was no other person on this show that tried to connect all of the comic book dots and all the possibilities than your boy, Jim Viscardi. All right. There were plenty of different ways that this could go. You know, whatever. They didn't happen. Well,
that's why I think our theories were so busy trying to predict the unpredictable, and the show ended up going with a version of what a lot of us initially thought is what it was going to do. Agatha Harkness, everybody knew was coming, and we kind of were like, the show could really just bring Vision back into in one way or the other and make her the Scarlet Witch. And it didn't, like, there, nobody predicted this completely. I don't think I saw anybody call everything accurately, like, at all. And we also all made so many calls that even if you did get it right, you also predicted 100 other things that didn't happen. But I think we were so busy by like creating these stories and theories that it didn't do, because we thought this one was what did happen was the most expected of it all.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I mean, look, they didn't resolve what Senor Scratchy was, right?
It's a bunny.
It's just a bunny. Right,
like that's funny.
We all bought in to the Dottie hype. No Dottie. Dottie was just Sarah. Right, like that's it.
It's funny because like we're talking about, you know, what they said in interviews, and when I interviewed Emma Caulfield, like she was dancing around my Dottie question so much that I thought she was like a new MCU person who was so afraid she was going to give it up, but she could have answered any of those questions. She wasn't anybody. I didn't mind that she didn't end up being anybody, but I think it's really funny that she, like, in that interview she played it like it was going to be something.
Yeah. Right.
And I do want to say, I see that Sharkbait Uhaha in the comment section says, this is so similar to Lost. Interesting that BD's reactions are so opposite.
Oh,
I partially agree with that, and I partially don't, because I feel like I can answer any question about Lost or any loose end string that you have.
Because everyone in Lost was alive, and everyone in Lost was dead.
Nope, that's not true. I'm not going to get triggered on the show, though.
Why did Walt make birds fly into the window?
Because he was special, because the island gave people abilities.
But he did it outside. I love Lost. Lost is one of my favorite shows of all time. I'm just playing devil's advocate because I think there are questions that aren't answered. But I'm with you, Brandon. I love Lost. But I still don't think there were questions that we got answered.
I think all of the questions I cared about on that show were answered. It did not leave me hanging out. Anyway, we'll spend all day doing this. We can't see. This is why they were not dead the whole time on Lost. And if you think that.
No.
Just if you think season. That. Whoa. I just saw a comment. It's the Mac 559. Richard, producer, go ahead and permanently ban It's the Mac 559 for comment Lost stinks. You're not allowed to watch Phase Zero anymore. Anyway, I'm just kidding. It's the Mac. We're not friends, but you're not banned. My other question is, did the finale? Anyway, I think we've talked enough about it. We've answered my questions already. So the questions I still have after the show are things we covered as well, like, what about the cops who said Westview doesn't exist? What was that about? Who was Jimmy Woo's missing person? What happened to the beekeeper? I think the beekeeper question kind of was answered. It was just a person from S.W.O.R.D. who ended up probably just assimilating into Westview.
Yep.
I think the not knowing Westview thing was just part of her, just part of the magic that happened. It was the same reason why people's family members didn't know any of them existed inside. It was just a side effect of the Westview bubble. I thought that was pretty clear. I wasn't looking for a further answer on that. The one answer I want was the witness protection thing.
No missing person.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
I'm convinced it's Ralph Boner.
But I think that, look, there's also two, and I've seen it pop up in the comments a few times over the course of us discussing this. Look, there is that one line where Agatha goes, "You have no idea what you've unleashed." And look, you know, and I still, you know, I know no one wants to hear or talk about Mephisto anymore, but that's still very much a possibility and a thing that's in the air, right? Like, even when Wanda is reading the Darkhold at the end and she hears her kids, that could either be a multiverse thing or she, you know, it still plays into kind of the Mephisto of it all. Like those could be like Mephisto trying to either lure her somewhere or whatever by, you know, playing at larger strings, which is why I think that, you know, even the line of like, you're going to need me, it is also just as important because there is going to be a point where Wanda is going to need that. Wanda and Strange are probably going to need the help that Agatha is going to be able to provide, even with potentially some other magic wielding members of the MC, the Marvel Universe and beyond. And so like, I like that those are all of, you know, the other possible, obviously, roads we can go down. Obviously, we've all been burned by theories and we don't want to go that far. But these are all very real possibilities. More they, so
they felt now. Real 3 weeks ago, too.
No, but if, yeah, I mean, sure.
It's Marvel. Look, they're leading to something. They're going to have like a big Avengers type. Lead-in.
Sure.
I mean, that's moving somewhere. Yeah.
And I also think they're going to have Avengers-type lead-ins to three different types of events. I think you'll have your cosmic event, which will be the Thor and the Guardians and the Valkyrie and Captain Marvel and maybe Secret Invasion and stuff. You'll have your Earth event, which will be the Black Widow, the Hawkeye, the Falcon, and the Winter Soldier. And you'll have your alternate, your multiverse event, which will be the Loki, the Doctor Strange, the WandaVision, and that sort of stuff. And Armor Wars falls into the Earth-based stuff and all that. So I think you'll have kind of, and eventually I imagine they all become another Infinity War at some point, but who knows? Maybe that's behind us. But yeah, Mephisto, more like Mephisto. Let's get to the news. I'll be here every Friday. I'm so sorry. Let's get to the news now. If anybody has questions, drop them in. Thanks to everybody who's been following the Twitch channel while we're live, like Jules KC, who just followed the comicbook.com channel. Spider-Man No Way Home was absolutely ripped by Twitter on Twitter. This week, so Twitter tweeted out, "We're making bios. Who wants one?" At Spider-Man tweeted, "We want a bio." And I can only imagine the look of regret on that intern's face for sending that tweet. Twitter responded and said, hashtag Spider-Man No Way Home, starring Tom Holland, Zendaya, Jacob Batalon, Andrew Garfield, and Tobey Maguire, only in theaters this Christmas. And I imagine the when Sony saw that tweet, they were just like, who thought this was a good idea? Delete it. And then they're like, well, if we delete it, then they'll just screenshot
unless
it.
Unless it's intentional.
Relax. They did not cut a deal with Twitter. Mephisto is not running Twitter. It's a wrap. There is an X-Men movie.
I was going to say the Twitter thing. I think that was just in good fun. I don't think anyone Sony. Also, I think it's important that people know that I don't think interns run those accounts. I think it's social media managers.
These are social media people.
That's just that I know it's like a joke that people say, but I think it's important that as to people in this business that we don't perpetuate that rumor. But also, but I don't think that like people at Sony were like Twitter outed us. I thought it was just a funny little joke that happened.
I just imagine the person who sent it to the Sony people who saw that tweet, like it was like that Jeff Goldblum meme where he's looking at his phone and then he's like, when they saw the reaction, they saw the response. So yeah. Anyway, okay. So next up, there is an X-Men movie reportedly in development at Marvel Studios. This comes from the Illuminati. Not a lot of details other than they're calling it the Mutants. We don't know. I can't say if I know this is true. I can't say if I believe it. I don't really know.
It feels like a working title or a production thing.
I mean, it feels like a working title. And when you say something this vague, it sounds like something that years from now you can say like, we called it.
Yeah.
So. Yes. I mean, maybe they did hear, maybe Illuminati has been right about stuff in the past. So maybe this is true. Maybe they did hear whispers that there is something called the Mutants going around that they're trying to.
I am sure that pre-production has started on a X-Men movie. But like, what I think it helps, would help other people understand when they see these things, whether it's on Twitter or somewhere else. These things take years, if not maybe even a decade to get to. I'm not saying it's going to take a decade to get to an X-Men movie, but like the start of pre-production is the start of a very long movie making journey. And so, you know, this stuff shows up on casting grids. It shows up on production timelines. They may create production offices for this stuff, opening LLCs, all of that stuff is all part of the process that, like, for years has always happened, but we never had necessarily had access or insight to. And so it's good to just set that expectation pretty low on where it could go. Like, yes, of course, Marvel's going to start working on an X-Men movie. That's an easy thing to do. And so, you know, and the mutants was originally what Stan Lee wanted to call the X-Men. And so it's like, okay, like, yeah, sure, it all makes sense, but like, pump the brakes a little bit.
Yeah, it's years away. Pedro as Kraven now, says Evans Larson's. I don't hate that idea. I don't hate Pedro Pascal Kraven the Hunter. Let's see him be a villain. He's kind of busy. He's got The Last of Us. He's got Mandalorian. I don't know. Grogu's off at summer camp, so maybe he's got some time on his hands. Black Widow might still drop on May 7th. I don't really know if this one's going to move again. I thought when Venom Let There Be Carnage moved back to – or no, Venom Let There Be Carnage was already on June 25th. When Fast and Furious vacated May 28th, I thought, oh, layup. Move Black Widow back 3 weeks. Uncle Joe said that there are vaccines by the end of May, so that makes sense. And then A Quiet Place, Reed Richards has his movie coming out on May 28th instead. And Cruella is still there. So I don't see how Black Widow can move back to May 28th. But we are, what's today? Today's March 5th. I mean, we're closing in on a 2-month window. There hasn't been a trailer yet. I feel like either they're going to release a trailer with a new date, they're going to release a trailer with a in theaters and on Disney Plus. Tom and Jerry didn't exactly flop. Godzilla vs. Kong is coming out. We'll see.
I think there's still time. I think it'll be interesting to see how Raya and the Last Dragon does this weekend, right? For Disney Plus premiere stuff. I think it'll be interesting to see. Like, usually when one studio moves, either it usually takes a day or two before other studios to kind of make up their mind if they're going to move other stuff. So there's still plenty of time. If someone is listening to this on Saturday, Black Widow may have moved already. But
yeah, that's true.
I think it's a thing that, you know, I think they're waiting. Movie theaters are starting to open. Movie theaters in California are not open, but they're starting to open in New York. And so, you know, is the availability of open movie theaters enough for them to either want to say they're going to cut their losses and take whatever box office gross they can get and then maybe release it digitally a week or two after? Like, there's still plenty of other options that they can go with this that I think it's still too early to call. Even if it's only about 2 months out.
I agree that it's Disney has shown they have tremendous patience with a lot of stuff like this. They aren't very reactionary. When Warner Brothers announced their slate going to HBO Max, I expected a lot of studios to just very quickly say, we're following that lead. We need some kind of certainty. We need some kind of revenue. Nobody did, especially Disney. They have really not wavered on a lot of things. But yeah. Peter Rabbit moved up theatrical release to May 14th.
That movie has moved 7 times. I counted like 4 times because I didn't believe it. I wrote about it changing, and I like literally like stared at that Wikipedia page for 10 minutes, being like, this is really the 7th time Peter Rabbit 2 has been moved.
but it moved up. Sony moved a movie up. So I mean, I'm starting to think that by May, it's very likely that we're going back to theaters, and I think May 7th could be a date that Black Widow comes out. And it's interesting because, I mean, like, I feel comfortable going to a theater. I'm in Nashville. Coronavirus cases are not nearly as high here in this county as they are in Los Angeles, as they are in some place in Texas. So yeah. It's very, is it fair to release it where people feel comfortable going and not in others, and essentially encourage people to go if they,
as someone in Los Angeles, I say, no, it's not fair.
See, that's the thing. That's the thing they're going to run into. So, I don't know, but I do think there is I'm starting to be a believer that May 7th could be the day one way or another, but I would not be surprised if there is a date shift again because they need to market it. They need to market Shang-Chi, and I just don't know where it goes. I don't know what's left. The dates are filling up. It was 2021 was already crowded, and now it has all of 2020's leftovers and a lot of the 2021 things that were already here. So we'll see. But that's our show today. Phase Zero, I can't believe WandaVision is already done. I am so thrilled. We are not done with WandaVision, Jamie.
Oh.
Next week, everybody who's watching, everybody who's listening, Matt Shackman, director of WandaVision, is joining us live. That means we're putting him on the spot. I'm just kidding. No, we are. We're going to have a good time. I interviewed Matt Shackman a week ago. And he was an awesome interview. And I think he did such a great job with this show. I mean, start to finish, like the commitment to the sitcom at the beginning, the twist that revealed what the sitcom was, the way they explored Wanda's trauma, like they addressed mental health in a way that you don't see in this genre. You don't really see. I mean, they put a female character front and center in like the, you know, in like the, just such an amazing way. Like this show, what it did for superheroes and for Marvel and just for characters in general, credit to Jack Schaefer for writing it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like, you know, Marcus and McFeely go unsung. Russo brothers get all the credit for Infinity War and Endgame. They did a great job, but you got to give credit to the writers who come up with these ideas. Jack Schaefer, in this case, is the unsung hero. Matt Shackman took her script.
She's the hero. She is one. Like we, you shout her name from the rooftop.
I'm saying you need to sing both Agatha All Along and Jack Schaefer All Along. And Matt Shackman did a phenomenal job directing the script from Jack. And Jack wrote Black Widow. So what does that tell you? We got a lot to look forward to. Anyway, that's our show. We have Matt Shackman live on Phase Zero next week. Huge thank you to everybody who has been listening and watching live, because the numbers and your engagement and everything is the reason we're able to do that. So I'm going to figure out a way to get some of you involved. I'm going to set up like an email address, or I'm going to set up a way for you to send me videos. I'll pick some of the best questions. Try to keep them kind of concise, because we only have them for a little bit amount of time. Don't send a 10-minute question.
Brandon, are you not going to sing It Was Agatha All Along?
I don't know. Are we allowed to?
Yeah, just sing it poorly.
No, if I'm gonna sing It Was Agatha All Along, I'm about to Taylor Swift that thing. Like, Brandon,
Brandon, I love you. I think you are a great person. I do not know as if your singing chops may get us taken off Twitch.
My singing, Jim. I live in Nashville. I'm in Music City. Okay, all right.
Brandon, who's been messing up everything?
Tune in next week to hear me sing it. That's right.
You set him up there.
Tune in next week to hear me sing it. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for an amazing WandaVision run on Phase Zero next week. I'm super excited that we're able to make it happen. And the week after that, we're going to have interviews with the cast of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. This has been so much fun. I'm really proud of us for 8 episodes. I can't believe we're already 2 months into this. Jim, you're the man.
Thanks.
Jamie, you're the woman.
Yeah.
Seriously, thanks, guys. And we will see you a week from today. For more updates, head over to comicbook.com/Marvel. I'll see you there.